Welcome to the All People Podcast, where we talk all people all the time. I'm your host, Elisa Southall. My goal is to improve Canada and employee experiences, as well as company cultures throughout U.S. employers. We do this by leading with empathy, diversity, inclusion, equality, teamwork, and transparency. Come on this journey with me.
And that's a wrap, folks. This is the final episode of season one of All People Podcast. This could not have been possible without all of the guests that decided to be a participant on our show. It also couldn't be possible without all of you listeners out there. Give all of yourselves a round of applause. I greatly appreciate you being here and taking the time to listen or be part of the show in whatever way possible. And I cannot wait for you to experience all that's set to come in season two of All People Podcast. We will continue to talk all people all the time. And that journey is going to be something that I don't think any of us will forget. I'm excited to already have a lineup prepared, and I can't wait to have you all come with me. Come on this journey with me.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of All People Podcast, where we talk all people all the time. I am your host, Elisa Southall, and I have the pleasure of being here today with Donnell. Donnell Kelly, tell us about yourself.
Hey, I'm Donnell Kelly. I'm a self-care / strategic leadership coach. Essentially, I like to help people help themselves. It's great.
It is great. You do a lot of things. You are not a one-focused individual. A lot of what you talk about is mompreneurs, which I love that you made that word. And that's probably because you yourself are a mompreneur.
Yep, exactly. So a lot of people know that I used to do a lot of organizing only, making strategic plans, and that is still part of what I do. But I realized in 2023, people aren't just trying to be more efficient and trying to get prioritized and trying to get more done in less time. They're trying to take care of themselves, but they don't know how to prioritize it. And the demographic that I really connect with are mompreneurs, because like you said, I am one. And I realized I can have it all, but I can't have it all today or at the same time. So how do I create that balance where I'm not slipping through the cracks and where it's not selfish to practice self-care? So I took what I was doing before with the planning and the organizing and prioritizing, and I'm like, how do I plug that into like a self-help type program? So now I'm working on that. It's really exciting.
And I know that although one of your niches is that mom side, you are willing to help anybody and everybody with their mental health. I mean, that's just your long-term goal.
Yep, that's exactly right. From what everybody says in the entrepreneur world, you have to niche down, totally doing that. But this framework and this methodology will apply to anyone who just needs to take a step back. They're starting to get burned out. They're starting to get exhausted. So I thought, you know what? Let's just make it broad enough. Let's make the questions wide enough where you can see yourself in there. It's a lot of fun. It's work, but it's worth it.
And I certainly think after the pandemic, you know, we really need this mental health focus. I think it's been sort of keywords, buzzwords that we've been kicking around for years. And I think really COVID put that into perspective for us.
Yep. So rather than just going to the spa or taking a bath or treating yourself a couple times a year, we're really starting to see that we have to get to the root of our values, our priorities, and just the way we view life and ourselves. Outside of the roles that we play. So whether it's a mom or a business owner or a daughter or a son, we kind of need to get back to self. And that can be difficult to do on your own, you know?
I do know doing that inner work is actually harder than helping other people, because you have to deal with those traumas and those, you know, sabotaging feelings and all of those things that are sort of just bubbling around within your brain.
Yeah. And it's nice that there's so much support out there, but also it can be kind of cookie cutter in my point of view. So you go through the exercises, you read the books, and it helps, but it's also kind of like, but what about me specifically, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of that gap that I'm trying to fill. So yeah, it's good.
And I know that you have specific ways that you get it, certain information, right? Can you share some of those with us? We'll look behind the curtain a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. So I ask specific questions and you do the work. So that's the key here. It's not me telling you what to do or think, which seems obvious, but you'd be surprised. So I'll say things. I got to pull it up. So what are some things that you want to change in any area of your life? right? So I want you to list out the categories that resonate with you, whether that's physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, any area that you feel you want to improve, personal development, right? Recreation. A lot of us forget about how can I have more fun with myself? It's always the whole fixing ourselves part. Like, what about the fun part? So I ask questions like that. Once you figure out what you want to change in each area of your life, then I take it a step further and ask you to list out all your relationships, right? Are you a spouse? Are you a friend? Are you a business owner? List it all out. And then pretend you're connecting with the person in that category, right? So you're connecting with your spouse. Now, how do you want them to describe your relationship? How do you want them to talk about who you are? So imagine that and just fill it all out. So again, it's a lot of just letting it out, but seeing things from a different point of view that's still deep down you. If that makes sense.
It does make very good sense. And I think that, you know, one of the things I really like about that approach is no two people, no two relationships that we have are going to think about us the same way. I actually wrote a novel recently that I'm working on getting published. But it's about these two people, a woman who loses her husband, and at the same time, a brother who loses his brother, right? It's the same person. But to them, those losses go through two different grieving processes. And so it's interesting, because as you were saying, when you drill it down to like, oh, what do you want this person to say about you? It's not going to be the same as somebody else.
Nope. That's incredible, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, it's really helpful to see yourself as more than just one type of person, and without just seeing yourself as you and what you think. When you have to put yourself in someone else's shoes, even as it relates to you, it really opens up a wide array of essentially vision for yourself in your life. So again, it's just taking stock of where you are right now without the judgment. That's the key. We kind of get caught up in the, well, this happened because, and we have all these excuses, then we get distracted and then we don't take care of ourselves. So it's really important to look at what's happening right now, what you want. And then the next step I'll ask you is, okay, really sit down, be open-minded, and write down how you're getting in your own way. And it's not a matter of cliche, well, I have negative thoughts, right? Like that could be a thing, but I always use the example of, let's say you want to get stronger. That's like one of your goals, right? And a way you could be getting in your own way is you don't make time for it, or you don't know where to get started, or something like, it's simple, right? It's nothing bad. Don't think bad about yourself. Just figure out what's going on so you can change it. Can't change what you don't know. So that's the next step, is you really got to look at yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, going in and doing that inner work is really, you know, really important. I mean, you look at all these pieces of advice we're given, right? Put on your own mask first when the airplane's going down, or, you know, fill your own cup, right, before you can fill other people's. And you're really bringing that to light. I mean, coming from a standpoint of, I go to a therapist once a week, I feel like you're complimentary to a therapist, because you do some of the other work. Maybe it's not digging into the traumas or the, you know, self-sabotaging beliefs, but you're saying, how do we make you a whole person?
Yes. Yes. And I hope that, I didn't think about complimenting therapy. Yeah. Maybe it kind of fills that gap between like the trauma part and then kind of blossoming into the person you want to be. So like therapy is helping you get to where you are now and getting healthy, like baseline. I'm in therapy as well. And then after that, it's like, okay, but now how do I get there? Like the future part of me after I've healed the past part. That is nice. I like that.
Now you have another client, you can go after a therapist, be like, I combine services.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a whole framework where you really dig deep the mindset, right? But then remember how I did all the organizing and planning and strategy? That's the second half. So you figure out everything. And then now I bring in those tools I used to just jump on initially. And it's like, now here's what you need to reach your goals. So it's both now. It's awesome.
And I'm sure that's really fulfilling for you to be able to bring both of those worlds together.
Yes, it's incredible. The reason why is because I did it myself. I was like, oh, I got a lot to clean up here. Okay. Yes.
That's funny. And one of the key words that you mentioned is judgment, right? And I think as moms, there's a lot of judgment and guilt. As women, I think we face a lot of judgment and guilt. And I'm not saying that men don't, but I feel like those two populations tend to feel it at a more heightened level. And so I feel like, you know, you have, even though you have a niche, you can help so many other people.
That is my ultimate goal. again, they tell you to just get started with a niche, kind of test things out, smooth everything out, and then go bigger. And I'm hoping too that this will be something women can share with other women and men of their own accord, right? So I'm going to provide this value, kind of streamline it, straighten it out. And then if it resonates and you have other people in your life that you're like, you could benefit from, you can hand them this instead of telling them what they should do. You know, we try new things, we get all excited, and then we tell everyone else that they should do it too. I don't recommend that. Like, I'm going to ask you these questions. You should be doing this. It's like, hey, this worked for me. And then just leave it.
Leave it at that and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah.
You know, because I like to, I mean, this is a great people topic, but let's figure out how could you implement this into like an organization, right? I mean, I know from the standpoint of, yeah, entrepreneurs need this work for sure. But there are people internally, organizations, that can become better leaders by working on inner self. And so is that something you feel like branching out into?
That's so funny that you mentioned that. So they tell you, again, I'm going to keep saying, niche down, figure it out, get the market research done. But the next level, which I'm already beta testing in my own family, is a family version. So we're each doing our own, but we don't live in silos, right? So each person in the family or organization does their own, get to know themselves. And then you come together. One part of it is identifying your values based on true principles, right? You get your values, everyone gets their values, you bring them all together. And then you figure out, okay, out of all of these, what best represents our company or our family? Then once you have the family values established or the company values established, then you fill out this whole paradigm waterfall, is what it's called in-house. Then you fill this out together as a company, and now you all have a North Star. So it's not just values and what they mean. It is a framework. So for our family one, I guess I'll just say it is like a dynamic. So it's not just what our values are. It's like how we interact with each other. If we have a problem, how do we handle it? That kind of thing. So it's a nice solid base to look at. We put it on our fridge. So in the company, you could put it up on the wall, right? And every time you're feeling something off or someone makes a mistake, we look at that and we go, okay, let's talk about this together and learn from it together. So it's a standpoint of cooperation and not competition, right? Because you've all had a say in it. You're all invested in your company's paradigm waterfall, essentially. Yeah.
I love that. And honestly, I can see that being so beneficial for a number of different ways, some that you mentioned and some that you didn't. But you know, when you look at company cultures and company values and mission statements, right? Whoever the CEO at the time has made those things and says, these are the things we're going to follow as our guiding North Star, right? Mm-hmm. But what they neglect to do is when leadership changes or when new employees come in, they don't do a reassessment and say, this is no longer our values. This is the values we used to have, but our new people have new values.
Yes. Yep. And I think it's important to review this quarterly. That's the 90-day mark is typically when we start to slide on anything of this level or this nature. So yeah, I would definitely recommend, and I'm going to do this myself, doing it quarterly, and then also reevaluating, if you could, creating a one sentence like purpose or passion. Like, what are you guys doing? That mission statement, right? But try to really narrow down to just one sentence to keep it simple, almost like a mantra. And then just the values, the statement, and then just the daily dynamics too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that this can lend really well to learning how people communicate, right? I mean, one of the things that we have is 5 generations in the workforce, and none of those generations, even as individuals, right, but within their own generation, they don't communicate the same. They don't hear information the same. They don't, you know, all these things. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like having that paradigm waterfall, which I love the name, by the way, having that paradigm waterfall really will help bring it together to say, we have these people that have different values, and this is the way that they're seen, and this is the way that they're heard, right? And it really brings in that whole emotional intelligence piece that we need leaders to have.
Correct. Because at the end of the day, this is what we're doing together. And it's just a matter of what part of that sphere we're located on and how we're seeing it. And then this framework is an objective framework, right? No opinions, no judgments. You can be yourself 100%. So when you do your personal paradigm waterfall, nobody's going to read it. So you can really look at yourself clearly without judging. It's like Star Trek, right? Lieutenant Commander Data mindset. You're just looking at the data and then you're analyzing it and then you're making a plan, but nobody else sees it. So you don't have to gloss it over. You take that raw data and you say, this is me and this is what I believe. And everybody does it together and nobody's judging. And it's like, okay, wow. We all agree that resiliency is important in this organization because there's going to be setbacks. but we can bounce back realistically and not just gloss over with toxic positivity. You know what I mean? It just leads, it opens that conversation. Everyone feels seen, heard, from the janitor to the CEO, because we're coming together under the common ground of being human, which is the whole point of anything, right? So it's just, I'm excited. I hope I really am able to affect a lot of change with this framework.
I think you will be able to. And that leads me to my next sort of point, which is you are part of Chasen's HR for You Inc. And obviously, exactly what you're saying is exactly what we're trying to focus on. People first, cultures that are really focused on people over profits. And so your methodology is really going to be just that.
I didn't even think about that. Holy buckets. Yeah, because we have the people program that I helped them create, you know? So I think that's what I will bring to the table there too. Oh, this is going to be fun.
You it's didn't so even fun. Think of that part?
Because I'm still in the depth of the market research, you know? I'm just in the data collection, like, okay, this works, this doesn't. Let's set up the workflow and the questions. And because, you know, in your head, things make sense and you get all excited and the other people are like, what? So you got to go out and ask them, hey, am I saying this right? Are you getting the results you need before you bring it to a huge organization like what yours or Chasen's? You got to make sure that it is user friendly too. Mm-hmm. It's all the boring stuff.
Well, and so those of you that don't know, Donnell runs all of our fun events at HR for You Inc. when we do our virtual stuff. She does all of our breakout rooms. So she's our event guru, but she does way more than that, as you can see.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this.
The other thing that I think you could be a really good, resource for, and I help them a lot, are job seekers. And the framework that you're talking about, digging into your inner self, right? I have to tell a lot of job seekers, when they go to their next role, you have to build your ideal job description. Because what happens is you take a role out of desperation because you need money, because you just need the next thing. And then you realize then you get into another environment where there's all this toxicity or micromanagement or what have you, and then you're not happy again. So I always say, do that, that ideal job description, what is it that you're looking for, and measure everything against it and say, I can't apply unless it's this percentage. Or maybe you're doing a career shift and you have to figure out, what am I good at? What do I like to do? Right. And I feel like your framework can really help them do that inner work.
Yeah. Before they get to the job description, because sometimes it's easy to get in your own head and go, well, I think I should. And we have all these should goals and should beliefs based on our experiences and just our influences. And it's like, well, I should be happy with this because I got a degree in this. Well, I should be happy with this because 10 years ago, it's like, you're a new person. That's why we evaluate every quarter, but you could do it annually. Like, who are you today in this moment? And go from there. That's how you find that happiness in the job, you know, because you're matching with who you are. And there are some assessments, I'm sure you know this, but I think it's interesting how you can take assessments based on what you're naturally inclined to do. And then you can break it down based on how much education you are willing to get. So if you're willing to get a doctorate, it'll show you jobs that will be at that level. If you're willing to get a high school diploma, it'll show you jobs at that level, but they're all still within your scope of genius. So there's just a lot of different ways to use this, I suppose, as well. That's cool.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, even things I see in Gen X are that they do the thing because their parents did the thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's even, I heard that as a younger, the Gen Z statistic, it's like one of the colleges for a research project that they were doing, asked them, why are you going to college? And they said, cause my parents told me I had to.
Ooh, okay.
And I was like, okay, but then do you want to do the thing that you want to do? Or are you doing the thing that your parents want you to do? And as you said, we're changing all the time. I mean, if we think about it, we are not the same person we were even a month ago.
Mm-mm. Nope. No. And that's okay to give yourself that grace. And sometimes it's nice to quantify it. So you can see it on paper and go, oh my gosh, I'm so different, but I'm still amazing. Like, I've done all this. And the common thread, which is so fun when you see that, the common thread between all my experiences has led to this. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I served in the military as a firefighter. Okay. I went to college for a degree in kinesiology and psychology. Like, I'm all over the map, right? I had a business in organizing, just it seemed, but the common thread was helping people find their best selves and training them up. You find your thread and you're like, so I like this and I can express it in all these different ways. So all these different jobs actually relate to each other in terms of how I show up in them. Yeah.
That's really cool. And I can even tell you, I had one of those experiences where I was a reporter before I became a recruiter. And at the time, I didn't know, I didn't put the two together, right? And looking back on it years later, I was like, as a reporter, I interviewed people, got their stories, had to tell it to a captive audience, right? I had to ask them questions. And as a recruiter, I was doing the same thing. It was just I had to tell their story to a different captive audience. And so like looking back on it, you just don't know. Like, I'm like, all those things were connected. And even as I tell job seekers, right, the universe sort of is out there to be your playground in terms of like, you don't even know what the universe has in store for you. So let's just ride the wave.
Yes, exactly. You fighting it and doing the shoulds really can lead to, in my opinion, feeling kind of down, but I feel like we acclimate to it. I call it background anxiety, where you build up a tolerance until you have a burnout or a mental health attack or a breakdown. And you're like, I didn't even see it coming. And it's like, cause you kind of build up a tolerance to it. But if you're able to identify and like peel back everything, identify your values and what your life looks like, ideally, then you can kind of use that, like we talked about, as a North Star. So everything from what should I wear today to what should my job be? When you have that answer pop up, it feels right. So it's like, should I wear the green shirt today or the orange one? I'm really feeling green. I could wear the orange one because I think you might like it better. But then I'm kind of like, you know, like I don't feel as confident in it. And it's like, we do that a lot. But if you start playing with even like, what color pen should I use? Just start practicing on little things. You'll notice how much you do your shoulds. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like even when you write, right, as somebody who writes novels or has, you know, had an English background, it's like, I don't write in red pen because red pen is scary. Right. But like, it's not, and I write in color, it's just not red, because red is what you do to make corrections. And so I was in a group and they were like, we want to choose red font. And I was like, don't choose red font. And so, you know, but it was just like my natural reaction of like, we shouldn't use red, but then it's like, but why shouldn't we use red? Maybe our need is for red. But I am so used to red having a negative impression.
That's perfect. I love that. But first, did you use red or no?
No.
Okay. All right.
They got to decide. They got to decide. I didn't decide.
Okay. That's awesome though. Yeah. It's just interesting to, when we start kind of zooming out of our own consciousness and looking at ourselves from a different standpoint. Oh, I didn't realize how much is like automated. I'm going to challenge that a little bit, but it's nice to ease into it. So I give you like a 3-year window, as opposed to trying to overhaul your whole life for a New Year's resolution. That doesn't seem to work from what I've experienced. So I like to say, think 3 years out. It's easy enough to keep yourself removed and be detached and not think about what's realistic or not. And then I added in a 10-year catch-all. So for example, let's say your goal is to, what did my husband say? Ride a motorcycle. He was like, just throw that out there. And I'm like, okay, great. So in 3 years, you want to be really good at riding a motorcycle. But what if this popped up in your head? What if you wanted to own 5 different types of motorcycles for different types of rallies and events? So that doesn't seem realistic in 3 years. That seems crazy. So throw it on the 10-year list. Just have it there and just let it sit. And then as you get closer and closer, it may or may not happen, but it's nice to put it out there, as opposed to just dismissing yourself. Like, okay, now I'm just being ridiculous. That is so sad. Don't do that. You're not ridiculous. I don't know if you've heard this, but I truly believe that anytime we really desire something, it's for a reason. And it's typically because somebody else desires it from a different point of view. So like the yacht example, for example, let's say your passion, Elisa, is to build a yacht. You can't wait. That's all you want to do now. Tomorrow, you're like, I'm a yacht builder. Okay. Well, maybe somewhere, someone really wants that yacht, you know? So you have that passion. It's temporary. You build a yacht and you're like, I don't even know what happened. I'm not doing that anymore. Right. So we have like these sparks that might seem random. Maybe do that. And then, you know, just go with the flow. Like you said, it doesn't have to be all or nothing for the rest of your life. You're a yacht builder.
Well, and that's what I even tell young people too, is like when they're going to school, right? Because I did not go to school to be an HR. That was never the plan.
Right.
And I was like, you know, so I was doing a public speaking engagement, and I said, there were some young students there that were still in college. And I said, if there's a piece of advice I can give you, it's don't let your major define you. You know, the thing that you want to do now as a teenager isn't maybe the thing you want to do in 20 years. Might not be the thing you want to do in 5. And so I'm like, take it and get the skills that it's giving to you, but don't say, if this doesn't work, I failed. Or if this doesn't work, then maybe I wasn't good at it. No, it just, that was giving you a stepstone to get where you wanted to be next.
Holy buckets. So you're writing another book on like self-help or what?
No, I want to read your book. When okay, does that all right. happen?
I'll do the program, smooth it out, because books are kind of permanent. I mean, they have like upgraded editions, but I'm not trying to do five of those. So I'll get the program down, get all the feedback, then write the book so you can DIY. But that's incredible.
I think you could do like a series, like Inner Work book one, and then it's like book two, and you could even do like workbooks. Let's be real now.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I created these cute little templates, right? Well, not cute. I use that word because it's organized. I think cute is organized, but you guys would probably be like, yeah, it's very structured. Good for you. Anyway. But yeah, it would be nice to have that DIY too, where you can free write on a journal and then kind of refine it and then burn the crap that you don't like. I like to do that too. Like just write out whatever, get it out of your system. And then if it's a negative thing that came out, just burn it or throw it away. But yeah, yeah, this let's is fun. Fire. Right. Let's start fires. Yeah. Oh gosh. No, that's not what I meant. Bonfire? I don't know what I'm
faith
thinking.
Controlled fires.
Yes. Yes. Or metaphorical fire. Right? I don't know.
I was just saying, coming from the person who was a firefighter in the military, right? Maybe not the best thing. But tell us about that experience, right? I mean, how was that for you?
Oh my gosh. It was definitely an eye opener. I joined the military because I knew I was not ready for college. I tried it and I bombed super bad. Just no social skills, no brain development. Like, I don't know how other people are at 18, but I was not mature at all. I was like, I'm going to end up in jail or dead. Like I need something. So I put myself in the military to grow up. Honestly, it was like the most mature thing I did. And I decided firefighter because I was like, I want to do something that's not normal for women to do. And I want it to be physical. And I really enjoyed exercising and stuff. So I thought, you know what, you can turn your brain off, right? If there's a fire, you don't have to stress. There's no anxiety. Like you do what you got to do or you die. So kind of dramatic, but it worked. So once I joined.
I love how you're like, no anxiety, except you're running into a burning building. No big deal. Like,
right. But you, in the moment, you can't sit there and be like, I'm anxious. Like you are in action or you're dead. Like there's no options there, which is nice. Later. Now I have anxiety. You're resilient when you're younger too. But yeah, it was just a great, not only collaborative building experience, because you have to work together as a team, like there's no option. So obviously you learn ways to do it efficiently, but I really grew into being a trainer when I was a head trainer on the ship. And I took something like firefighting and made it fun. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I didn't know that that wasn't normal. I was just getting into it and doing simulations and stuff. And it was just, I really grew into that trainer side of myself and learning how to work together in a team. Not the most healthiest work environment by today's standards, but definitely better than kind of fumbling around in college by myself. So definitely grew up a lot and broke down some barriers to women being firefighters back then. That wasn't very common.
Kudos to you for breaking down barriers. That's the whole goal in our life, right? But I also think that your story about your time as a firefighter really resonates with who you are today, right? As you're talking about in all of these different realms, you're running into the chaos to create calm and, you know, organized and just deepening feelings, right? And so like you're taking all that chaos that you're running into and being like, now let's level this out.
I never thought about it like that. Yes, I love it too. It's like, just give me the biggest mess you can find. And let's just smooth it out. We can do that.
Because I can even see that being in events, right? I mean, events are in no way straightforward ever. They're just chaotic messes all the time.
It's true. And then you show up and it's like, now what? We're just looking at each other, right? This is fun. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like you said earlier, and like what Chase is doing, if you approach things from a people standpoint, it's very clear. It might not be easy, but it really smooths things out because you're going more on intuition and on values and just being a good person, as opposed to looking at it from like an AI analytical standpoint, right? Like we're people first. We have to be. That's the only way anything is ever going to be sustainable. And it's the only thing that's ever constant, because everything else is always changing and evolving, right? Remember when we used to go to Blockbuster and now there's like metaverse? What? Right. But we're still people. We can still be good people. We're not killing each other. So which one are you going to put most of your faith in? The people first. Come on.
Blockbuster had the better candy.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Listen, Netflix is great, but you don't give me candy. So I apologize. Yeah. So like, you should apologize for that.
It's just insane. Yeah. So I feel like that's timeless. Putting people first is timeless, and it always will be.
Well, and like, okay, let's say you're going to say profits are number one. Who gets you the profits? The people, right? I mean, so if you don't have the people, if you're just focused on the money, who is doing the work?
Right. Right. And it comes on both sides too. It's not only your work environment, but the people you work for and with, right? So whether it's the vendors or the clients and your team, it's people all around. No matter what your experience is, you can relate to someone else in any given moment. Like, you're on the bus. Hey, you're both riding the bus, right? You're in line for something and the person's obviously stressing out because they're checking everybody out. And you can just say, hey, I really appreciate you working today here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to buy my stuff. Like, there's always some way to connect with someone else. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have or how much money you have. Like, it's always the people. Like, you can never boil it down to anything else, right?
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that. The other day I was at the doctor. And my doctor was like, oh, I might not get you results. I'm going away for 2 weeks. And I was like, that's fantastic. You deserve to take time off. And her staff is like, don't tell her that, she'll take more time off. And I was like, in a joking way, right? But I was like, I don't care if she takes more time off. I'm in HR. She needs to take all the time she needs to be healthy. And it was just funny because I do that a lot. Like you're talking about with, you go to the coffee shop and you're like, somebody's super stressed out. If I call on the phone and I'm getting like a person who's frustrated somewhere, I was like, listen, this is not your fault. You're doing a great job, because they need to be reminded of that, because they have all these metrics that they're trying to achieve. And, you know, we're all related somehow. And there are things that are happening to us that these people might also be dealing with, but I've learned to cope in a different way, because even though I have anxiety, I've learned through therapy how to put that at bay sometimes.
Yes. Yes. It's so true. I love that you do that too. Everybody needs to do more of that. Like if someone's just having a bad day, just say something small. You're already talking to them, you know? And like with your doctor thing, I like to tell people in that situation, for example, I'd be like, no. I need her to go on vacation. I need her intact, right? She's a doctor. I need her at the top of her game. She needs to go rest and recover and come back and take care of me. I always say that, or like my husband or whoever. It's like, just go take care of yourself. I need you at 100%. It's not going to happen if you're here all the time. Please leave.
Like, I'll come back after your vacation is over, because then you'll be a way better doctor.
Yes, exactly. It's so selfish. Like, I need you to go recharge, please. Then come back with a fresh brain. And, you know, and you want that for people that you work with and for. You want people that are 100%. They get way more done in less time at a higher quality. And you're saving everybody just at the core of being who they are, as opposed to boiling them down to some numbers on a spreadsheet. It's like, man, you're a whole person. And I just read about, I don't remember where it was, dang it. I would do a lot of reading, okay? Essentially what I said, okay? So you treat them like the whole person, and then you give them a list of things to be accountable for instead of like a title, right? Like, here, I need you to do this, and here's your parameters. Give them the result of what you want, and then let them figure out their own way to do it within reason. But they'll usually exceed and get better faster, right? Right? Isn't that amazing? Because you're treating them as the person first and not the results. So it's like, this is what I need. Here's the tools to do it. Can you get it done by the next 2 weeks? And, you know, then the rest of the time is yours. They'll get that done in like 3 days, and then they get a week off, you know? And it's a perfect quality too, as opposed to forcing them to drag it out for a few weeks. Who cares? You just want the result. Who cares?
Right. And that's why I'm a big proponent of like 32-hour work weeks or work from home, or work from anywhere policies, because listen, like everybody does their best work in a different way. So let's let them do it. And I even have an even hotter take for you, which is that I would love us to have these employers that say that we can't find talent. They have all these open jobs. And I say, okay, rather than having all these titles, right, go into your workforce and say, what do you like to do about your job? What are your strengths? What excites you? What challenges you? Right. And then let them do those things. And so then you take those pieces that they don't like that somebody else does, and you give them to them. And so then rather than having 50 open jobs, now you may only have one or two open jobs because you've given these things. Now that means you have to pay them more, but it also means that they get to do the things that they are really good at and the things that challenge them, right? That interestingly challenge them. And that way you have better work product, right? You have happier employees and better paid employees.
But wouldn't you save money because you're not spending money on 50 other jobs? So it's not costing more, is it? Yeah, I figured that would be cheaper.
The cost to train an individual, right? Once you get there, the new hire cost, the recruit, I mean, all those things that you have to do to hire somebody, you could just take that money, spread it across your organization. Yes, you're maybe giving them more responsibility, but it's more responsibility of things that they like. And chances are, right, they're already milking the time that it takes them to do certain projects, as you said, because they're like, well, I have to be here for 8 hours. I might as well do two of this and then go walk and take a, you know, 15 minute break. And, you know, it's like, but if they were like, hey, this needs to be done by, you know, today, right? And you get to own this deliverable, you get to own when it's due and how you do it. Like, they're like, hey, I'll get it done in an hour.
Yeah. And then I'm out of here. It's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like less time and better quality should win out every time. I think it's just kind of a hard shift. Cause like you said, there's so many generations right now. It's kind of a tough sell. Like people freaked out probably when debit cards were, you know, coming into play, and now it's metaverse. And now it's like all this, like people are just like, so much is changing. Oh my God. It's like, okay, just go with the flow, chill. And that's where this paradigm waterfall is really going to come in play now that I think about it, because you try to control everything on the outside. I feel like when you don't have that inner sense of security. So if you could really tap into that and then be like, oh, like I'm good. Nothing is that serious. We're getting the results. 20 hours a week, 30 hours a week, whatever. Just get it done.
Right.
You know, and then go on vacation and come back and get more done. Right. So be at 100% for a few hours, or, you know, 50 to 60 for 40. You know, I didn't think about that. That's cool. We're going to change the game.
We are going to change the game. And even if they're not, if they're getting, you know, more work done in less time, right? That means that your company can get more done in a year. Yeah. Because they're not going to be like, oh, I'm done. I'm going to, you know, just clock out and not come back to work for the rest of the week. They're probably going to be like, hey, I can get ahead on this other thing. Let me do that. Right. They'll take time off when they need it and when they deserve it. But the idea is that they'll want to do the work because you've given them work that they like to do.
Yep. And it's not a matter. Yeah, I suppose you're right. I wasn't trying to say it like they wouldn't want to work as much, but it's more so what I was reading is that people get more done, but it doesn't feel like more work.
Right.
You know, it's just like, hey, this is awesome. I'm doing what I'm passionate about, and it's not about the money anymore. And so it's not just an exchange of here's the numbers for the money. It's like, here's the results. And then also, I'm sure you do this too, but it pops into my head. Here's how you're making a greater impact overall to our paradigm waterfall for the company, right? Like you're helping shape this, and then every quarter you review it. And
in that value of what do I get, right? So, you know, a lot of times that comes up when you don't pay people enough of like, oh, well, we're just going to tell them what we make. Like I worked for a Department of Defense contractor. I'm like, we make products that go into space and help our military. And like, yes, that's rewarding. Yes, we come to work because that's rewarding. But we also want to be rewarded in other ways. And so for me, right, if you have an employee that you say, here are all the things you like to do, do those. We're going to give the things you don't like to do to somebody else that likes to do them, right? And then not only are you motivated because you enjoy what you're doing, but then you have that paradigm waterfall that says, I love the mission. I love the vision. I love what we're going for. And I want to be on that path because it's exciting to me.
And I bet you they're more innovative too. Mm-hmm. Because they're in that creative space. And so new ideas flow because they're not kind of getting bogged down by gummy tasks that don't come naturally to them and they're not good at. It's like they have that extra space in their head to be like, hey, what about this? What about this? And then the next quarter you come in, you're like, let's try this. And I like that. That's amazing.
And I think right next to your paradigm waterfall wall, we need to have an idea wall. Because I think what happens is like, right, as we get, you know, talking about those generations, right, a lot of the older management style is like, we want to hear your feedback. And then you tell them and they're like, great. And then they never do anything with it.
Yep.
and so it's like, and sometimes is that the person that they're disagreeing with? Is it the, they've tried that years ago and it didn't work type of concept, or we don't change because we just don't like change. But if you have this idea wall, then you have to literally go to it and acknowledge as a leader, like, we tried it or we looked into it or whatever, because if it just sits on this wall, everybody's going to know nothing's happening.
Yep. And that, oh, call it like a back burner list or idea parking lot. And then when you're doing any sort of recap or review or, you know, quarterly thing, you visit it and be like, hey, for this quarter, which one of these should we try? You know, ooh, that's nice. Yeah. So everyone feels seen and heard, but you're not constantly getting disrupted by distractions. Like you have a 90-day plan, you stick to it, you have all these ideas. Yep, put them right here. We're not going to ignore it. Yeah. So
in that idea parking lot, right? So if I have an idea, you might come up and be like, oh, I have a riff on that idea, or I have an idea that stems from that idea, right? And like, it just like makes this big thing. We need a really big wall, but like put it right next to the paradigm waterfall. You have like the idea parking lot. I think like the world would be a whole better place if you and I and people for, that are on HR for you just ran the world.
Yes, I agree. We'll start with the, with what we can do here and then just, yeah. Just give it to everybody because it's so universal. What we're talking about, there's no right way or wrong way. It's like, here is a framework. Like here's a house. You can live in it and update it however you want, but it has plumbing. You're welcome. You know what I mean? Like everybody needs that. That's very basic. And then you just, you build on that based on who you are, who your organization is, who your family is. Yeah.
Oh, you want a rooftop pool? Great. You can build that because you have plumbing.
Yes, exactly. Like you just see the basics, some electricity, whatever. Some people are like, well, I live in a cabin. It's like, do you, you know what we're talking about. Don't get nitpicky here.
Oh, you're wonderful. And so I love, you know, I love everything that you bring to the table. Now, are you still doing events as well?
Yeah. So I'm still going to be doing events for HR for you for sure. Actually just asked Jason about that, but overall, it's just a matter of if you need something, you can ask me and we'll work something out. But you have to pick one thing and you have to make sure you're really passionate about it. And that's what this paradigm waterfall thing is just coming together because it's something I'm naturally just inclined to do. And it's kind of happening. Like what you said, what do you like to do? What are you good at? And you kind of just kind of look at the threads and you're like, oh, this is all coming together in this way for right now. Who knows next year, right? But yeah, just so fun.
So I'm going to put the call out there. Any companies that want to try out your paradigm waterfall, you know, Donnell's here for it and she'll let you be a test subject.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll sit down. Everyone on your team fills it out and then you bring it together as a company and you'll have more than just a mission statement and values that people memorize, you know, for probably what check-ins. How do you feel about, this is great. Go team.
I worked for a company that they had the values not only written on the wall, but everybody had to have a card on their desk with the values written on them. And like one of those like triangle, like, you know, things. And I was like, that's great. But do these values mean anything to any of them?
Right? Exactly.
And they would have to find a way to like use them in their review at the end of the year. And I was like, okay, but that's once a year. Like, if you want us to live these values, then we need to be talking about them every day. What are you doing? Like, one of their values was like, make it happen. And it's like, okay. So every time then somebody has a win, right? We should be like, you follow the make it happen value. It's a value, but like, does it mean anything to those people?
Right.
And yeah, they won. Great. But like, let's recognize how they made it happen. Let's recognize, you know, in like more, you know, deeper into that part.
Yes. Yes. And if everyone has a say in it, they're more likely to act on it because it comes naturally. They're acting from the place of the values. And depending on the size and scope of the organization, you might need to have subdivisions. So if you have multiple locations or something, maybe you have an overarching paradigm waterfall, but then maybe each location has their own as well. Because again, people first, well, there's different people in different areas and maybe they have different cultures locally, like one city is different from another city and just the people that what they bring to the table. So this can really be boiled down to any size. It's just a matter of really putting yourself first and then bringing that openly to the group. Yeah.
And I also feel like any people leader should go through your inner work process. One of the episodes I had with Janet Mohapi Banks, and I have one with Jay Grooms, you know, both of what we talked about are like, in order to be a good leader, you have to do the inner work first. You have to really understand what things about yourself, right? Maybe your employee is going through something and you see it because you've been there, right? You know, and so I think for you, doing that inner work helps them be better leaders.
Right. And that's just helpful too, because if you're able to be you 100% and you know yourself, then you're subconsciously giving other people permission to do the same. because they just feel that from you and it calms them. And then they're kind of, they just feel more safe to open up. It's almost like you're a walking safe space because you're just, you're 100% you, and you're not judging anyone else because you're not insecure, right? You're just like, this is me. You do you. And even if you don't agree on stuff, it's not personal. You don't, it's like, good for you. Like, we don't align, but you know, it's like dating, you know, you're not, you don't hate people that you're not attracted to. It's just like, not for me, but I respect you as a person.
Imagine if we could do that in the political world of like, hey, you're allowed to think differently. I don't agree with you, but that doesn't mean we have to be in a fist fight about it.
Yeah. It's not that serious. You do you over there. I recognize that we're people first. And as long as you're not trying to tell me what to do, it's all good. All good. We don't have to live in the same house. That's weird. You know what I mean? It's really not that, it gets so convoluted because I feel like the bigger an organization or whatever you want to call it, the bigger something gets, the more complicated because we start to get lost in the shuffle and it sucks. But if you use something like this that everyone can use, no matter what education level or where they're coming from, then they feel seen and heard. And then from the ground up, you have like just this solid, I don't want to say machine, but I can't think of, I'm like picturing Terminator for a second. I blanked out. Sorry. But you're building this foundation of safety for everyone involved. And honestly, loyalty to themselves, not to the organization, because it is one and the same. They're loyal to themselves and their values because that is part of the overall values of the company or family. So yeah.
You're an incredible human being. I hope you know that.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate that.
All right. So what else would you like to share with the community before we start to wrap up? Is there anything you'd like to tell the listeners of All People Podcast? What's coming next for you?
First, I want to say that this is a lot that we talked about and it doesn't happen overnight. So the first thing that I usually tell people before they do anything is to just take 5 deep breaths at any point in time and to try to just be aware of your thoughts throughout the day without judging them. So if you're starting to think negatively or you're starting to feel bad, like sometimes you get that feeling in your chest or like you're starting to feel anxious, before you do anything to fix it, just kind of sit with it for a few minutes and just take 5 deep breaths. So that can really help just to get kicked off with being more open-minded and starting to create that safe space for yourself. It's just being aware of where you are without trying to fix it right away or judge it or have someone else fix it for you. Just sit with it. It's not going to be the end of the world, even though it's terrifying, but yeah.
And those of us like me who have anxiety over odd numbers and we're very anti odd numbers, we're going to take 60 breaths because
okay.
taking 5 is going to make me more anxious.
Okay. 6. My bad. 6. I didn't mean it. I take it back.
Take 5 or 6, depending on your preference for odd or even numbers.
Right. And how you breathe is different. It could be in as 1, out as 2, or in and out as 1. See, I'm making people anxious as it is. Just breathe, people. Breathe however you do it. I provide the framework. You fill it in. Here's your plumbing. Have a good day. But as far as me, I'm still in market research mode. You can reach out to me on social media. My LinkedIn, I'm keeping more professional because I'm applying to jobs in like suicide prevention and gender awareness type areas only because I want to be able to make a difference myself under an established organization, use that income to fund the other parts of my business that I don't want to do. I don't want to do bookkeeping. I don't want to do marketing, but I got to pay other people to do it. So I was like, how can I mix what I'm passionate about with growing a business? Go make money doing something I love to do and then spend it on all the stuff I don't want to do. And then I can just show up and teach Paradigm Waterfall, you know, every so often. I thought that was a great idea. So yeah.
So 2 things. So 1, hire Donnell. Okay. If you're in that, you're in that space. Secondly, right? Like that just proves you're not one person. You're not one thing, right? You're going to be doing all the things.
It is. It's easy to get caught up in your head. Well, I'm an entrepreneur. I have to push through it. I have to pretend I'm a successful, whatever. Just do you. Right. And that's what came out of doing this Paradigm Waterfall for me. I'm like, oh man, I can do multiple things and I can make it work. That's crazy. So yeah, definitely connect with me on social media under Oxley Help, because that's where I'm going to be giving all these tips. And then just, if you're having a hard time, just reach out. At the very least, I can just be calm and present and just, you can just let it out. It's so nice to just do that with people. I do that too now. Like, can I just talk to you? And you just sit there
and listen.
Yeah. Just listen to me.
I do that with people because as a HR person, that's always been like, I'm just here to listen. And so I always tell people, like, if you're having a bad day, you can literally call me, data dump, and then be like, bye.
Exactly. Because I don't absorb it anymore because I feel whole and I feel fulfilled. There's nothing left to fill those gaps. I'm solid. You give it to me and it just kind of like just washes away. It just like ducks in water, you know, it's just, it's so nice. And I want to spread this around to everybody. So it's going to be,
I'm excited to hear your answer to this. So every guest before we leave, I ask them my favorite question, which is based on Maya Angelou. And she has a saying, you'll forget what people said, you'll forget what people did, but you'll never forget how people made you feel. Right. And so can you share a time for you where you might remember how somebody made you feel, but maybe not what they said or did to make you feel that way?
A specific instance. That's a good question. I suppose when I first met my husband by accident, I was pretty jaded, right? I was having seizures back then. I had a mattress on the floor. It was just a rough time in my life. But he was so, how do I say it? Like pure. So we were talking about just random things and, quick backstory. I met him in a bar, cliche, But there was a tube TV and like those old Nintendo 64s that we had when we were little, remember? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. What is that doing here? And he's like, oh, that's mine. I'm like, who are you? What is happening? Continue talking to me, please. What is this? And it turns out he's just so multifaceted. And him being himself 100% really shook me up a little bit in a way where I was drawn to his light. And I realized now recently after creating this paradigm waterfall, I'm finally there. It's been years, but him being himself 100% for so many years. And now I finally am too. And I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like. And he's like, I guess, what are you talking about? Like, it's just like, whatever, this is just who you are. Okay. A lot of us struggle with this. So he just made me feel so safe. And not just safe, like as a person, but like to explore who I am over the last few years. And try things out without any judgment, just like to be in that kind of space with someone who's just so totally 100% them. It's just, it's very freeing, I suppose, to be vulnerable. And I've never been vulnerable in my life before him. It's crazy.
Listen, you have like every woman's dream. Can we just like all have men in our lives like that, that are just like 100% supportive of everything we want to do and make us feel safe all the time? Like that's just, I think you just wrote like the Prince Charming fairy tale.
I will ask him to spread that around, just bottle it up, give it to all the other men and, you know, women and all genders. And
he should hold support groups. Really? I mean, yes. You know, like if you want to better yourself or your significant other, here.
Oh, he could totally do that. So emotionally mature. I didn't even know what emotional intelligence was until he explained it to me. I was like, how can you be smart with your emotions? How do you be a smart, sad person? He's just like, all right, so this is what it is. It's like, okay. Again, I was in the Navy. I had a way different background than him. I was just 100% different person. So just being yourself is huge. Huge.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here, Donnell. I feel like we could talk forever. You're so wonderful. And as I end every episode, lead with empathy, act with kindness. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to All People Podcast. If you enjoyed our show, I'd love for you to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. The work doesn't end here. If you want to keep the conversation going, find me on LinkedIn or Facebook, or visit my website, apeoplepartnerllc.com. Lead with empathy and act with kindness. Have a great day.